Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Welcome to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. For all of us who have been following the recent events in the news with what's going on down on the border and all of the illegal aliens that are pouring over the border, we need to take a look at this a little closer, I think. My great-grandfather, Egidio Pangaro, can you imagine that? Egidio. They called him Ed, from what I understand, once he got here. Egidio came here when he was 14 years old. I think that's what I've been told through the family. They applied over in Italy. They put this 14-year-old kid on a boat, and they sent him here to America, where he was went through the process on Ellis Island and became an American citizen, where he found work in the city, met the love of his life, and had a family. And the rest, as they say, is Pangaro history. When I look at that, I think about the fact that he, as a young man, came here to the greatness of what America represents around the world, which it still represents around the world, which is why people are knocking our doors down to get in here. They're sneaking in from both sides of the country. They're coming on airplanes when they land, and then they declare themselves they want to be citizens, whether or not they have the right paperwork, etc. As a father and a husband and a human being, I cannot blame anybody that would want to come here to this country to make a better life for their family. It would be intellectually dishonest to say that they're doing it just to come and take advantage of what goes on here. This is the greatest country in the world, in the history of mankind, and we have opportunity here, especially now. The economy is booming, there are a lot more jobs, and people want to take care of their families. When you look at some of the South American countries, where a lot of the people are coming from, and they're claiming this asylum, and they're saying that they're under attack at home, and they're afraid to go back because they will be attacked by their government, they'll be prisoned, whatever it is they're claiming the asylum for. A lot of that is not true. I'm sure some of it is true, but a lot of it is not. And what we find happening is that people are coming because they want to come into this greatest country in the world and take advantage of the things that we have here. So that's where I want to start for my own head, is that I can't blame them for wanting to come here. I would want to make life better for my family. That being said, one of the things that makes America great and has made America great is that we are not a land of men, we are a land of law. And law is what makes each man equal to every other. We go by the law. We all follow the law. It cuts down power, at least it's theory, of course. It cuts down power, and it makes the least of us equal to the most of us, because we all are subjected to the law and what it means. When I see these people who are coming here and they're shortcutting the line, and they're coming over the borders, and they're pouring into the country, I have a problem with that. If they came here legally through the process, I would welcome them all here to the country, because we are a land of immigrants, and immigrants have historically filled many needs in the country. They have taken jobs that we needed to have filled. We needed people to follow up and be able to backfill in. You need plumbers, you need electricians, you need people to buy all the products, you need people to work in the stores. We need all of these things. But coming here illegally is flouting our laws, which is starting at the very first tenet of what it means to be America. And to throw that in our face, and then do they come and go right to work? Or do these families come here with nothing? It's not their fault, they have nothing, but they come here with nothing. And what happens? Do they immediately get social aid? Do they immediately get welfare? Do they immediately get food stamps? They get college educations at cut rate or no cost, where there's American citizens whose kids cannot afford to go to college, and they don't get that opportunity. So I have to look deeper, peel the onion a little deeper. Why do we have such a split in our country over this topic? So if we start with the people, I know a lot of people who are on the left, people that I love and that I care for. And I wonder how we look at the exact same set of facts and see completely different meaning to things. When these people see these pictures, and we know a lot of these pictures were phony, they were from the Obama administration, they were put up pictures to make a point about Americans ripping babies out of mothers' arms, and that was all done on the political side to make it move. But the people, my friends who see this and are outraged and demand that we just take these kids in, that we stop doing this, I look at it and say, but don't you understand you're being played? They're using your emotions against you. They're showing you those pictures to rile you up, to get you to work for their purposes. Nobody wants to see mothers and children separated, or fathers and children, families. Nobody wants to see that. And the reason it happens is because we don't know who the people are that are coming here. We know for a fact that there are sex traders, sex slave groups, that will take these children. We know for a fact that there are the human trafficking groups. People will loan their children out for money because they know if the kid gets across the border, they'll get all kind of benefits and eventually the rest of the family can come. We know this happens. People want to deny it. Talk to the Border Patrol. Talk to the Border Patrol. They'll be very clear on the things that they're finding. So here in America, if you commit a crime and you get arrested and you have your children with you, if they cannot find somebody suitable to turn your children over to, after a vetting process, which is very, very severe, because if I arrest Bob Johnson and I take his kids away, I can't just turn him over to the first guy he tells me to call on the phone, because how do I know that that guy showing up isn't a pedophile? So we have to do a severe background on whoever these children will be turned over to. If there is no one suitable to turn them over to, we turn them to the Division of Family Services. They come and take the children and put them in foster care, or they keep them in other facilities until that parent is released, gets out of jail, or somebody suitable is located. So this is not a foreign concept that we have to do this, and we do this to protect the children. We don't know who these people are. Is it legitimately their mom and their dad who are making the trek across to get to America to live a better life? Or are they being used for sex trafficking? Are they human trafficking? Are they being used just to get across the border? I think one of the most shocking things I heard out of all of this was a Border Patrol agent. And he said that in speaking with a lot of the people that are coming across, 10, 11, and 12-year-old girls are given birth control pills before they leave their country of origin because sexual assault, rape along the way is part of the journey. Now, what parent sends their 10, 11, 12-year-old daughter with a bunch of strangers, even if you think she's going to have a better life down the road, but first she has to endure brutalization or sexual assault on the way? I wouldn't do that with my kids. I would not do that with my children. If I knew going across the border illegally, that my children would be separated from me, I would not go. I'd find some other way to go. And this is kind of where we're at right now when we look at this. So I see this complete split and how my friends on the left see this. And all I can say is I'm not being cruel. I'm not a cruel person. I love people. I love everybody. I love children. But they look at it and see something completely different than I see, and I see that they're being used. They're being played. So let's move to the other group. What's the other group that wants to do this? The politicians. Why would the politicians all of a sudden be up in arms over this when previously the Obama administration did the exact same thing and nobody said a word? And I'm not faulting the Obama administration. They were trying to enforce the law and do the right thing, vet out who these people are that have these children, and they had to separate them. And where do we separate them? Take them to Disneyland? We have to put them in a facility or a location where we can feed, clothe, and house them in a secure environment. We can't just let people walk away. So why would their politicians be screaming and hollering now? What is in it? There's an old saying in law enforcement that says, follow the money. If you follow the money, you will often find the real root causes of things. Well, I can tell you right now, if we follow the money, we see something a little bit different. It's something of value. We see votes. This is the bottom line for the politicians on the left. They see millions of potential Democrat voters that maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but in the next 10 or 12 years, who are people going to vote for when they finally get their rights to vote? They're going to vote for the people that let them come in, let them pour in, gave them all kind of benefits, or are they going to vote for something different? They're not coming here to become American as past generations. They're coming here for a better life, plain and simple. So while I don't fault them for that, I have to look at the politicians and say they are looking for these votes down the road. And I heard a funny thing the other day. Said, if we flew down to these countries where these people are coming from and we indoctrinated them all into being conservative Republicans, you would see Charles Schumer down on the border with a wheelbarrow and some blocks making the wall himself if he knew that they were going to get 10, 15, 20 million Republican voters coming up. So it sounds cynical. I'm not being cynical. I'm being realistic. I've seen the world. I'm 56 years old. I know what goes on out there. So my friends on the left who are so moved by this, by so pained by seeing this happen to these children, I get it. I'm moved, pained by it also. But I look a little bit deeper. All right, so I see my friends being used and I see the politicians are the ones who are using them. How come in this past week, the president and the Republicans have come up with two separate bills that would solve multiple problems of the illegal immigration problem? It would handle DACA. It would handle the separations. It would handle how to change how people come and go. Why won't they vote for it? Why won't they come up with amendments? Why won't they come in and let's discuss this and we need to solve this problem for America? They won't. They won't go anywhere near it because you know what they see? They see an advantage coming up in November that they can use the media, which is liberal and on the left-hand side is going to take their point of view, and they can pound it over the president's head and all the rest of us and how evil and horrible we are, and how if we had more Democrats in there, there'd be no more screaming babies. Nobody would be pulling their mothers, be pulling their babies, be pulled away from their moms right in front of us. They would have wonderful lives if they came here, if you voted Democrat. I think the question I need to ask is all of this making any difference? I was talking with my wife about it not too long ago. And I said, I don't really see that it's dividing people, because that's their purpose, is divide Trump from his base and divide Trump from all of us who support him so that we will support someone else. I think most of us on this side, and I'd love to hear from you out there, and in a few minutes we'll have the neighborhood guys stop by and we'll talk about this. I don't think it's separating Trump from his voters. I think what's happened is it's become so outlandish, so outrageous, the claims that they're making, that people are now further locked into their position that this is why we voted for this guy. He comes in, he sees a problem, and he tries to solve it. Now, you may not like the things he says, you may not like his tweets, you may not like the nonsense that comes out of his mouth sometimes. The bottom line is he sees a problem, and he's not waiting 18 months till some blue ribbon commission gives him 14 ideas that are ridiculous. He says, this isn't right. We can't have people coming pouring over the border. Let's build a wall. And everybody loses their mind. Well, you know what? If you have a wall, people can't come in illegally. Then they're forced to come through the doors, through the process to get here legally. And why do politicians don't want that? Well, because then we're going to limit how many people can come here, and you're not going to get an overwhelming amount of people who are going to vote Democrat. So let's look at our elections. In almost every major election, let's take the presidential election. You see the winning side divided from the losing side. Doesn't matter who won the election. Look at them all. It's about 5 million votes. About 5 million votes nationwide swing the election. You get 60 million for one, 55 for another. So you got that 5 million independents or people in the middle. How about if you bring in 8 or 10 or 12 million people who are going to reliably vote your way? Would that be an incentive to bring those people in? Because not only would overcome the 5 million votes that it normally takes to win that election, you'd have a pretty good margin of another couple of million. You would have power for the foreseeable future. there would be no Republican Party. It would be a one-party Democrat Party. And unfortunately, my friends are good people. They're loving people. I care for them. They don't realize it's a socialist movement that's trying to take over. The socialist movement is what's in the background of the entire world, and it always has been. That's the tyranny I talk about. That's the tyranny. The default position of humanity is under tyranny. Socialism is that tyranny. And that's what my friends and my family members, frankly, that are on the left, that are so upset and moved by this, what they're not seeing is how they're being used. They're simply seeing the emotion of the situation. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for all of us. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for these kids. You know, there got to be something else that we can do to help them. But hey, Democrats, why don't you go out and come up with a plan? Let's vote on it. I think this president will listen if you come up with a plan, but not a ridiculous plan. Because what you really want is open borders. That's why you're not voting for anything. You want the border wide open so all of these people can come in, come to America. We'll give them everything they need to survive here as far as benefits, so that they can live comfortably. Not great, because welfare doesn't let you live great. It gives you a substance existence. But that's enough for some people. People who have nothing, they come here and you get welfare or you get social benefits. It is 1,000 times better than where they come from. So once again, I don't blame them for coming, but that's how I see this breakdown. My friends on the left have good hearts. They love people. They want to do the right thing. My friends on the right have good hearts too. They love people and they want to help these children. But they also want to make sure we abide by the law and do things the right way. The politicians, on the other hand, are out for themselves, as they always are, and they see power in the offing. Where do you see it? Where are you in this argument? So in a minute, we're going to come back and we're going to talk to the fellows from the neighborhood and get their opinions, because, you know, they always got something good to say. I'd like to tell you about my sponsors, Blue Magazine. www.thebluemagazine.com for law enforcement and for people who love people in law enforcement. Great magazine. It's nationwide. Give it a read. My company, Pangaro Training. You can find me at jpangaro.com. And I'm also flying under a banner now of True Security Design, because I do school assessments, business assessments for threats, dangers, and other things like that. You can find me at jpangaro.com. MCON IT. One of the most fantastic companies in the world. They are on the web. You can find them, mcomit.com, and they do third-party data recovery and other types of things you'd need for security of your business. And the big one on the block, A-Plus Technology and Security. They are out of Bayshore, New York. They provide every kind of visitor management system, cameras, you name it, when it comes to safety and security of a facility, before, during, and after your business is open. So A-PlusSecurity.com. Strike that. Make that aplustechnology.com. See, I get a lot of words rolling in there. We'll be back in a minute with the neighborhood.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. We're in the neighborhood today. Here we are. We got the neighborhood fellas here today. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world, big and little, be your personal life as well as what's going on out in the bigger land out there around us. So today we have the All-American, Jack Patterson. Jack, how are you today?
Joe, how are you?
Have you had any done your race cars? People call me about that race car segment. They want to know what kind of car you'd race and how many posi bolts and all this. I said, I got no idea with that. All I know is it's fast. The posi traction rear, you know, I saw
if
that.
It's fast, I'll drive it a riot.
Okay, I like that. That's fantastic. So there's your answer. Whoever's calling me all the time asking about the cars, if it's fast, he'll drive it. Also, we have our man of faith here, Mr. Bill Dallas. Bill, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Joe. I'm great to be here. I feel good.
That's excellent. All right. Well, in our opening segment, we were talking about the problem with the illegal immigration, the people flooding over the borders, the difficulty it is in enforcing our laws, how important that is to enforce our laws, as well as at the same time, how do we be compassionate to these people who want to come here for a better life with their families? My point was, I can understand why they would want to come. Who would want to come for a better life for your family? But we have to maintain the rule of law. If we don't maintain the rule of law, we have nothing else. There's nothing else in this country that's part of our foundation, that if that goes, everything goes. So what do you think, Jack? You were chomping at the bit there to start out.
Well, I'd like to start out just by giving you a quote by somebody famous that we all know. He said, "It is imperative that we control our borders. It is imperative that we stop illegal immigration as soon as is possible and secure our borders." Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi seem to forget that quote was Bill Clinton. Now, when Trump says we must secure our borders and we must control immigration, he's the bad guy. This thing going on with the children and the separation at the border. The last time I checked, illegally entering the country was illegal. It was against the law.
You're not allowed to do it.
Well, yes and no. It depends on who you talk to in the government. This needs to be controlled not only for the fact that they're coming in too fast. We're becoming overcrowded with people who have no jobs for them. We have no place for them to stay. If we can bring them in under the system that is in place and is, by the way, functioning, and bringing people into this country every day, which President Trump increased the amount of people that were being allowed into the country on a daily basis through the process system at the border. We need to do it only to tell our people, our young people, you know, it's illegal. How are they supposed to gauge what they're to do and not to do as a young person if you're allowed to walk in and out of the country at will? Are you allowed to walk in and out of a bank with a gun? Or what else is legal? What else is illegal? I don't mean to take it to the extreme, but just to make a point.
Sure. Can you walk into your neighbor's house because they have a better pool than you do, or they got better food, and just take their stuff?
I feel that I have a right to swim in your pool because I don't have a pool anymore. So I feel that I should be able to come over here any time of the day, mind you, and just jump in your pool.
Right, and we know that that's a different circumstance.
And, you know, not to be ridiculous, but right, to make a point of how important this truly is, to set a limitation on what is legal and what is illegal. We've lost the concept of illegality.
Right, and what's the reasoning behind that, you think? Why do you think we muddied those waters?
Well, expressly for the fact that when these people do come across the border, when they do get into the country, they are going to vote in a democratic manner because the Democrats wish to open the border. Now, I have nothing against these people coming into the country. Absolutely not. There's a process in place, and it should be used. That I always have agreed with. The fact that all these people standing at the border protesting the wall or protesting against not letting these people in as they sit on top of our border wall and basically spit in our face, it's absolutely ridiculous.
It is. I think you're absolutely, with your point there, you're correct. You know, there's no respect for us. There's no respect for our law.
No, it's let me in because I say you should.
Right. Mm-hmm. Bill?
What kills me is, first of all, the biggest argument that the left has is this country was built by immigrants. And yeah, that's a solid foundation on the truth. I agree with that 100%. What I don't agree with is the fact that the immigrants today are coming in illegally. Back then, when they were building this country, they were coming in through Ellis Island. They were being processed. They never complained. They were coming from a horrible place or a place that wasn't as good as our country. And they went through the process legally. And now they were fully functioning members of society.
And they had to have someone sponsor them. You got here, that's you didn't just walk thing. In the door. You had somebody say, yeah. We'll make sure you don't get social services. There were no such things.
Exactly right. And the other thing that really galls me is the fact that they're calling the children's retention centers, concentration camps, Nazi centers, yeah. and all this other stuff. But now listen to this. They had several Democrats go down to the border to see these facilities, and they come back and they still call them concentration camps and things like that.
Except for Mrs. Trump.
Well, I'm talking about the Democrats.
Right. And you know, one of the things we've talked about here on Chasing Justice a lot is that words mean things.
Absolutely.
So we look at the words we use. We talked about the discourse. Is the discourse being more coarsened? There's a purpose for all of this. So when they go down there and you call somebody a Nazi, there was a time when you would never say such a thing about another American because of what the connotation brings. What they're doing down on the border is trying to protect those children from whoever's bringing them here. Make sure they're okay. They're not Nazis. That is disgusting and appalling that our news media gets away with that. And
to put them in, I'm sorry, Bill, but to put them into a detention center, these centers resemble a kindergarten of what we've seen. It's not a detention center to separate them from their parents because they've done something wrong. It's because their parents have done something
correct.
Wrong.
And it's to protect them.
Absolutely.
That's the biggest thing.
And you know, this is the story that's not told, though. Now, the cages look horrible. Now, those pictures, though, were not from recent pictures.
They were from the Obama administration.
Right. And that's what I said. Where are you supposed to put people that come here illegally? We're supposed to put them up in hotels? We don't have facilities for that. You're not supposed to come here illegally over the border, across the river, and get picked up by our border guards.
Again, it's
what
illegal.
What are you supposed to do with them?
It's illegal.
Now, there's just one more point that I wanted to make. I made my first two. I had three. When these guys, men, women, kids, whatever, come over into this country illegally, sponsored by, you know, the fact that the Democrats just want to get them in here to get those votes, I would be willing to bet, I have no proof of this, but I'd be willing to bet that the biggest percentage of those that come in here illegally are not going to vote regardless. They're not going to vote. They're going to take the benefits. They're going to do what they want. They don't want to make themselves known. So they're going to take the benefits, voting, I'll vote. And they don't.
Right, because a lot of our state agencies all across the country have made it that you're not allowed to report that someone's illegally getting benefits. So you're not allowed to say, hey, just so you know, law enforcement, ICE, there's 1,400 families here that are all getting benefits, but they're illegal. We're not allowed to say it. So they can get their benefits without coming out of the shadows. Mm. This goes to those children. They were saying, oh, there's 2,500. Trump lost thousands of children. That's not true. When these people come to the border and they go through this process and we say, like it was catch and release up until recently, making sure that they stayed in the detention center, they would give the parent or the adult that had the child or the children, give him an appearance ticket. You came in here illegally, so you have to go see a judge. A week from Thursday, here's your court appointment. You have to come back and talk to the judge about why you came across illegally. Then those people disappear. Mm. They take those kids with them. They don't show up in Portland, Oregon and say, I'd like to report that I'm now in Portland, Oregon, and I have a desk appearance ticket for my illegal status. They disappear and they take the kids with them. We can't keep track of them because we let them go.
That's why they don't run necessarily to Southern California, Nevada, New Mexico, and Texas much anymore. They like to run up to New England, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Portland, Oregon, because the immigration services in these states are minuscule in comparison to the immigration services that are in Texas and the border states. Mm-hmm.
So I find it interesting how, you know, these words that they use saying these kids are lost. They're not lost. They're purposely taken. Now, if all of those people aren't the true parents looking out for the goodness of those children, what if they the sex traffickers? What if they have those children and we let them right out the door and take these little kids with them? You know, the ones who are on the birth control pills because they're going to get raped on the way here? How can we stand ourselves to think we allow that to take place? But that doesn't seem to go into the equation. I saw a politician the other day. I can't remember his name, and it was disturbing to me. He came on, and he was saying that the Democrats have to change their message when it comes to Trump, using an example like this immigration. They're saying, we can no longer say Trump is bad, Trump is evil. We can't just keep harping away on that. What we have to do is turn the message around and say to the people out here in the country, if you vote for Trump, if you vote for his policies, you are evil. You are bad because you're allowing this to happen. And they're thinking that if they turn that message around, there'll be enough people that'll look in the mirror and say, well, I don't want to be associated with that. I'm not evil. Well, I guess I should vote for somebody else. And that's where my question comes. Do we think that's working?
Well, the perfect example of that is the news person for Trump was just denied access to a restaurant.
Sarah Sanders.
Yeah, Sarah. She was denied access to a restaurant. She, as a matter of fact, she was in there and she was asked to leave. Now, this is someone who works for the President of the United States. I thought that you would be honored to have someone like that in your restaurant. And then when I got a look at the outside of the restaurant, it's some little shack that she went to. That was, she was giving them her business and stuff, and her family was asked to leave just because she worked for Trump.
This lack of respect can go all the way down to if the soldiers don't respect the general, and there's people coming here to invade the United States, and the soldiers won't listen to the general anymore. Well, then we're all doomed. And this is where it comes in, where the lack of respect for the office.
That's it.
Is undermining the
Absolutely.
United States.
If you don't respect the man, you should at least
respect the office.
Now, this is where I'm going to agree with exactly what you're saying. I did not like President Obama, not because I accord that he was African-American. He seemed like a decent enough man. He had a beautiful family. He seemed to raise his kids great. His policies were socialist policies that were hurting this country. And it was proven. We had 8 years of it, and he hurt this country. That's what I was against, not him. I could care less that he's African-American. If you had an African-American that was conservative, that wanted to come forward and run the country conservatively, I'd be the first one in line to support him and do what I could to help him. Or her.
Just give me the best man or woman for the job.
Exactly. But when I was against Obama, it wasn't for any of those other reasons. It was because of his policies. Even though I didn't care for him, he was still the President of the United States. If he showed up somewhere, I would go there if I could to see the President of the United States.
Absolutely.
This paradigm has now shifted in what has happened here in our country, and we have this hatred. When you have people talking about, you know, we have to turn it around and say, Trump's not evil, Americans are evil for voting for him. That's how we're going to turn this around. We got people on the news calling our border agents who put their lives on the line, calling them Nazis, saying we have concentration camps. This is so far beyond the pale that I don't know that we come back from this.
The news media has taken such a turn from being unobjective, not having agendas, and bringing about a real news truth to the things that they report, to that 180-degree turnaround to where nothing that they say can be counted on as truth. And regardless of what Trump says, I'm sorry, what President Trump says is, no matter how truthful it is, how good it is, they deem it wrong and illegal.
And they won't talk of any of the things he's done for the country that are so great right now.
Exactly.
They've got one story about, look at the booming economy. Look at the turnaround for all these people. Look at the housing market changing. Look at the opportunity.
And they are saying that Trump is riding on the coat sleeves of Obama.
Well, now they're saying, well, Obama set the foundation.
Yes.
Yeah, he set the 1.1% growth foundation for 8 years.
I would say this about the Trump administration so far as to what I see. These people are coming from South America, Central America, and Mexico. If I turn a product upside down and look at where it's made, if it doesn't say China, it will most likely is going to say Mexico, Central America, or South America on it somewhere. the pressure applied by the Trump administration to improve conditions in these countries, I don't think is there. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's there. I don't see it. I don't see it. Maybe it's due to the media, but I don't see the pressure of President Trump putting on the Mexican government to increase their efforts to give these people a life in their country.
Because it's corrupt. See, we fall into a problem here in America of thinking the rest of the world is just like America. The rest of the world is not like America. It's corrupt. It is upside down. Those countries, if they wanted to do things differently, they could certainly say, we'd like to have manufacturing. How do we work with America to make manufacturing? Who wants to come here and give our people, we'll have jobs and we'll make a great product?
And plenty of companies have gone to these countries.
American companies have gone there and set it up. The government hasn't done it.
No.
And they are all corrupt. They're out to see where they're going to get the money. They don't care about these people. They're letting them, they ride on top of trains, 400 people at a time. Could you do that at Penn Station? Could 500 of us get on top of a train and go to Long Island? We could not. That's ridiculous. The rest of the world is not America. And we fall, that's one of the things my friends on the left fall prey to. They think everything is like, just like America. And if we just loved each other more, if we were just nicer, we stopped being Nazis and let everyone in, it would all be beautiful. Well, if all of this immigration is good for America, how come it's not good in their country where they're coming from? Right? Because their governments are corrupt. Not the people. The people are innocent for the most part. They're just human beings trying to survive. But they want to come here because we have things that were already established. Their governments could do the same things. They could have the same revolution and have democracy and freedom and turn their country around. They choose not to do it.
And let me just say, if I was in one of those countries with my wife and my children, I would do anything I had to do to get here.
Absolutely. So, gents, I appreciate this this turn at the... at the neighborhood here. We had a good segment, and I think we just touched the surface of this. When we come back, we're going to talk about one of our favorite things here on Chasing Justice, the United States military. All right, the servicemen and women who protect this country, who keep us safe, who kept my family safe my entire life. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that. I know that's near and dear to Bill's heart. Bill is a serviceman, and we always thank him and all the servicemen, active or retired, who have served our country. So remember, Pangaro Training, jpangaro.com, MCON IT, APlusTechnology.com, and theBlueMagazine.com. Check it all out. We'll be right back.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back. Bing, bing, bing. Round three here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. First, I just want to say thank you to the America Out Loud Radio Network for letting me and the guys and the girls from the neighborhood come and visit you every week. It is something we certainly appreciate, the ability to exercise our rights to free speech. And while everybody talks about free speech here on America Out Loud Network, it's really true. If you listen to this station, and I encourage you to listen to all the different shows, you will hear many, many different points of view, and none of it is scripted. I don't get anything in an email or a phone call tells me what to talk about or how I can talk about it. This is the true voice of America here. So thank you to the America Out Loud Radio Network and all of you who are listening. Here in round three, we have a veteran. Bill is a veteran of the United States military, and we love the military here. Most of our country, I believe, loves our military veterans, the men and women, who have decided to dedicate their lives to something bigger and better than themselves, which is our country. The military has always been that stalwart in the background that has helped keep America as the most powerful and most tremendous place on the planet Earth. We have lost more people fighting for freedom around the globe, for the rights of people in countries that don't have any of the rights we have. We have lost men and women trying to remove tyrants who killed millions. We've lost young men and young women on battlefields across this country under the stars and stripes, the red, white, and blue. And the purpose they were doing that was to make the world a better place. So all of you out there who are military, military families, retired military, active duty, doesn't matter. What you do is important. What you do has value. It is a tremendous, tremendous career you've chosen. And I know for me personally, I am very grateful that my children go to bed every single night knowing that they were safe in this country because you were out there somewhere, flying a plane, sailing a ship, walking somewhere away from your home and away from your family to make sure my family was safe and sound. And I love every single one of you. So that's why we're going to talk a little bit today. Bill has wanted to talk about some topics in the military and some problems that we see that needs to have attention called to it. I know a few years ago when I started writing, I saw something in law enforcement that really struck me. I had never been around people who committed suicide. I didn't know anyone personally who committed suicide. I'm sure it happened it happening more now than it did then. But even then, there were people, I'm sure, that committed suicide that you never heard about. When it made the paper, it didn't say Bob committed suicide. You just noticed that somebody, man, woman, younger person, older person, died suddenly. And a lot of that was because of suicide. Just like the drug overdoses. When this wave of heroin overdoses started, you see all these young people, died suddenly. But they're not saying they overdosed on drugs and died. They said they died suddenly. And as a law enforcement officer, I got to know a couple of cops. And I came to work one day, and they said to me, hey, did you hear about, Officer Harry Jones over there? Well, no, what happened? He killed himself. Now, this was a healthy young man who had a life. He had a great career. He was a really great guy, a good cop, and he killed himself. And I was taken aback by that. I was surprised that it was not something that was part of my world, suicide. So I was really shaken by what that was. And I started to look into the statistics of how many cops commit suicide and retired and active duty people. And I was shocked to find out how many it was. So I wrote an article, my first article that I ever wrote. It's called The Tragic Toll of Police Work. And you can find it, I believe it's on the America Out Loud columnist page. But if not, you can Google it and you'll find it. It's out there. It appeared in the FBI magazine and hit a lot of different places around the world. And I got a lot of calls from people. And what I realized was that police work, because of the nature of it, you know, everybody talks about helping people, but we really see the dark side of a lot of people and we see a lot of tragedy and a lot of pain, that builds up on you. And it builds up on cops, and it's like a cancer. And if you don't find a way to vent that out of your system, it can come back and it can attack you. And that's where these people were killing themselves. So I was really became attuned to suicide for the first time in my life. And I know recently, in the last couple of years, we have heard the most unbelievable statistic about these men and women heroes in our military. 22 service personnel a day are committing suicide. Let that sink in. 22 of our American service personnel are killing themselves every day. So that means yesterday there was 22 who are not here. 2 days before that, there was 22 who killed themselves. Tomorrow, there'll be 22 that kill themselves. This is not right. There is something going on, and we need to look into it. We need to demand services for our men and women in the military. One of the things when I saw the VA and all the problems they had, my suggestion was early on, and I wish our friend the contrarian Jim Giordano were here, but Jim had something else he had to take care of today. I had said, instead of having the VA with these hospitals that are often very far away from where the people live, the services were not great. You know, it's one of the problems we heard about. They should just be given a card that says United States Military Service Insurance. And it would be good at any hospital, any clinic, any doctor's office, any dentist's office, anywhere in the country that service personnel chose to go to get their service. Now, you couldn't make the doctors accept it, but I think most would. And if one doctor didn't take it in a town, other doctors would, and our military people wouldn't have to go far away to try and find services for that they deserve. They didn't choose where to get sent to fight and die and get injured for us. We should allow them to choose what doctor they want to go to. It is a very simple concept. So I know in talking with Bill, he's concerned about the suicide, but he's also very, very concerned with another thing hidden underneath that we never talk about, the homelessness of our service personnel. They're out fighting, putting their lives on the line for us, and they come home and they're homeless. So, Bill, I know you want to talk about this. You got statistics over there. We need to lay out a case first so people understand the real statistics and what's going on. Go ahead.
All right. Well, we all know what a homeless person looks like. We've all encountered them in the big cities and even in a lot of small towns. They sit on a corner. They're begging for nickels and they're washing your dirty windows for a quarter. And it's degrading for these guys and men and women and families. They have their kids living in cars. It's a tragedy that really needs to be addressed. But when we talk about our veterans, just give you a few numbers. So far, there have been 47,000 veterans reported homeless. And out of that, 4,338 of those veterans are women.
4,000 homeless women?
4,338 veteran women that are homeless. Mm. Many of them have families, little kids, and they're sleeping in cars. They're going to shelters that are dangerous. Now, there are 495,000 veterans reported that are unemployed, no work, which causes a lot of the homelessness. But out of that 495,000, 23,000 of them are women veterans that are unable to work for one reason or another. Now, they've been classified by calling them the invisible homeless, because we don't talk about the women mostly, because when we talk about veterans, first thing that pops into your mind is a G.I. Joe kind of guy that comes home, he has PTSD and he can't deal with it, and as we were talking about before with the suicide, he commits suicide. He goes through a whole bunch of treatments and they're not helping him. And one thing that President Trump has done, he has focused on the VA. He's trying to get that reorganized and back to a way that is actually helping
a functioning service that helps them.
Yes, it's got to be a functional thing. But we have to be able to identify those homeless and why are they homeless? Most of the veterans, they're 50% of them are more likely to become homeless again. They're like repeat offenders. They can find a job, and then for some reason or another, they can't handle it.
Is there anything in those statistics about why? What do they need treatment for?
They need treatment for the biggest thing is PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. I have some here. The VA states that the nation's homeless veterans are predominantly male, with roughly 9% being female. The majority are single, they live in urban areas and suffer from mental illness, alcohol, and or substance abuse and co-occurring disorders, which means they're not being treated properly. They go to the VA, and a lot of them don't get treated. A lot of them just try and treat themselves, and that's how they fall into
drugs. That's the alcoholism and the drugs, sure.
Drugs and alcohol problems.
That's a classic symptom of anyone who has undiagnosed mental conditions. They try and self-diagnose. They try and stop that pain by using alcohol and drugs.
And there are so many organizations out there that honestly really try to help. You have the Wounded Warriors, Project and a number of others, but there's one that's specifically geared towards the women veterans.
Well, let's hear about it because everyone should reach out to them.
It's called FinalSaluteInc.org.
FinalSaluteInc.org. Okay.
Their women veterans because they're the fastest growing segment of America's homeless veteran population. And Final Salute is dedicated to meeting those unique needs of the women and their kids. You know, we forget that it's not just the soldier, it's their family, whether they're male or female.
You're right. And along those lines, I got to tell you, I think a lot of people who have never been to a military base would be shocked to find out where we house our military when they're not at war. They have apartments and they have places for them, but a lot of these soldiers, their families are on food stamps. Mm-hmm. How can you be in the United States military, be prepared to go and give your life for our country, and you're on food stamps? Of all the billions of dollars we spend on things, there should be food and good living conditions for our military. I get you can't pay them all $100,000 a year. But their living conditions for their family and the fact that they're on food stamps, that is a disgrace to each and every American that we allow that to go on.
I agree 100%. And besides PTSD, the second most difficult thing for veterans to deal with is that they lack support networks. They come back from a war, and fortunately, when they come back from a war now, we're in a more of a patriotic mode. You know, we welcome them back, we salute them, we thank them for their service, a lot of these guys are crippled, hurt.
So what it sounds mentally. Like you're saying is that even though now it's better when they come back, as a people, we show respect to them. We kind of forget about them once they get here. Once they take that uniform off,
that's right.
They're back. They just disappear into the
weeds. If they don't have a uniform on, we don't know who they are, except when they commit a crime or when they're picked up for vagrancy or when they create a disturbance in a restaurant because they're hungry and they're asking for a handout. You know, it's a shame what this country has done to our veterans, and the homelessness is just a small part of the problem. The women that are homeless, that are veterans, that have chosen to go into combat, and I can't imagine a woman being in combat, but you know, that was a law that was passed, and they allowed them to be in combat.
And there are women soldiers who are just as brave and willing to go give their lives for their country as their male counterparts.
Absolutely. But I feel, personally, it's just my opinion, that they are more vulnerable because of who they are. And I think that there are so many brave women and men. We've got generals and admirals that are women. We've got
jet fighter pilots, everything. So, Bill, let me ask you. It's one thing to bring up the statistics and to make us aware of this. Mm-hmm. And it is shocking. You know, you do think of that G.I. Joe guy that might be homeless or having a problem. But you don't think about the women. They are invisible. What can we do? What can each American do to try and help them?
Well, like I said before, this one organization, FinalSaluteInc.org, that's one thing you can do. There's another one. There's National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. That's another organization. It's just a matter of, you can go on the internet and just look, Google homeless veterans, and there's many organizations. You just have to check to make sure that they are honorable.
Jack, go ahead.
I've also done some work for Wounded Warrior Project. I won't go into that. I've done some volunteer work for them. A great organization, totally dedicated to helping the veteran that has returned. Personal story, real quick. I'm not going to use the man's name. I'm just going to call him Jay. He was a Marine. He was deployed 3 times, once to Afghanistan, twice to Iraq. A number of years ago, 6 to 7 years ago, when things were still going on. He was asked to go back into the rotation again and go back again. And he said, you know, it's time for me to re-up. I'm not going to re-up if you're going to send me. And they said, well, you got to go. The shortage of combat soldiers. and he bailed out of the military. And he has had nothing but trouble since. And you ask him, what is the VA doing for you? How are they helping you? And he just rolls his eyes and won't even go into it.
That is just as sad as these statistics. The fact that they know they can't count on that agency. So, President Trump, if you're listening, you want to do the right thing. Tomorrow morning, call whoever's in charge of that place in. Call me. I'll take it over. And I'll change it tomorrow. It's just a matter of doing what you're supposed to do. Everyone out there who's listening, write to your congressman, write to the president, tell him we demand that they do this. Bill, thank you very much for bringing these statistics up and for bringing this up to us. I know this is something you want to talk about for a while. Your heart's in the right place. All of our veterans out there, your families, we care about you. We all need to do more. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for listening this week on Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. Remember to take a look at our sponsors because we couldn't do this without them. Aplustechnology.com, jpangaro.com, mconit.com, and The Blue Magazine. Until we meet again, remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.